This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Happy Greg Cody Friday. Stugatz is having all sorts of connection and audio issues. Can't wait for the next 14 days of him being quarantined so that I could get extra special looks at his butt crack. I was surprised here during the break. Chris Cody was legitimately emotional about the departure of Mike Golic on ESPN Radio, a two-decade run. Please, if anyone in Bristol is listening to me, smoke out the Rat Fink leak that made Mike Golic read about the news that executives were moving him away from ESPN Radio before Mike Golic had learned it. I believe we fired Adnan Virk for something similar. So let's smoke out whoever it is that the Rat Fink leak is that made Golic read about the news that he was no longer on in the mornings because somebody in 2020 decided, you know what I'm going to do to get some power? I'm going to call a media guy, a guy who reports on sports media. I'm going to call him and give him the news. What are you shaking your head no about, Billy?
Why are you so negative? Today's supposed to be a happy celebratory day of Mike Golic.
Because they ran him out on a rail and didn't do him the courtesy of telling him beforehand.
Like, I'm going to turn this into a bit of a witch hunt. Why did they celebrate Golic?
I want that witch. Where's the witch that leaked that story so that Golic? That's so cold, man. It's rude. It's awful.
Dan is right. I mean, Billy, after 22 years of radio and at the highest level, I mean, seriously, at the highest level, you deserve to not hear that or read that in print before you hear from your bosses. Dan is 100% right about this. No question about it.
How did you weasel your way onto the final show? Honestly, because they've been doing this for like a week's worth of celebrations. And I'm looking at the thing that the Hoff put out today, Bill Hoffheimer, obviously the Hoff. And I'm looking at the tweet that he put out today with all of the big guests. And it's Darius Rucker, Jason Stark, who was a longtime baseball guy on this show. Kirk Ferentz, I don't know what he was doing on there. Herm Edwards. And then front and center in the middle of this graphic, Stugatz. His face is as big as anyone else's, actually bigger than the Golic's face is on this thing. And he's right in the middle of the marquee for the last day on the show. And I heard him and it was incredible. He was talking about how he's become great friends with them, made sure on the way out to give props to Trey Wingo, because no one has been doing that and saying, Trey, we're still going to be friends, which you know is just angling in case something happens with Trey moving forward. Stugatz wants to get on NFL Countdown or whatever. So Stugatz is trying to be friends with that. And then he says, and Mike Golic Jr., it's been great being a mentor to you all these years. And I even text him. I go, are you allowed to determine that you're someone else's mentor for them?
They gave me prime time positioning, 8 o'clock, like I was the featured guest. Listen, no one has appeared on Golic and Wingo over the last 3 years more than I have. And so they gave me my proper positioning today and proper respect, and I was thrilled for it, and I made sure I thanked everyone. Trey Wingo did look like a man who had his bags packed and he was ready to go.
Chris, what happened? What did you see that made you emotional? What were the specifics, and did you apply it to your own father and the obviously imminent end of his broadcasting career?
I mean, I watched the last segment and I saw Mike Golic Jr. really emotional. And it just, I mean, obviously I'm in an interesting situation, very similar to that, where I'm doing a radio show with my dad as well. And yes, it hit me like no joke. I had chills. I was getting emotional. And it was really, as my dad breaks down emotionally.
No, I'm sorry to laugh. No, you are misunderstanding what just happened with your father, because Tony and Stugatz are laughing uproariously. As soon as I said imminent end to your father's career, he started laughing. But then when he started laughing, he started coughing in a way that made him turn a radioactive shade of red.
I mean, it could be any second. I mean,
so he was not.
I did go on mute, so you're welcome for that. But the problem is, I start coughing violently whenever I start laughing, which is not a good combination.
And this is what's the funniest thing about that: you finally learning after 5 months of pandemic to turn off your mute or to make your microphone muted. you did it and you took the funny from us. Because if everyone else had heard you coughing, it would have been funnier. But you learning something made it less funny, so I had to explain the visual. Do you have spittle on your chin from coughing and laughing at the imminent end of your career?
Listen, I'm congested today. My eyes are watering. My nose is running. I'm out of a drug that dries up my sinuses. I'm in bad shape today. But listen, I'm toughing through it, man, because I'm a warrior.
See, it was an emotional episode for all of us, Dan, even Greg. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, it was emotional for me as well for a different reason, because I'm reading straight from a quote here from Mike Golic talking about what was going to happen with the morning show once Mike Greenberg left. And here's a quote from Golic. You know, there were talks of Jason Fitz, of Stugatz, and certainly of Trey. And Trey's familiarity with me and being around the company for a long time, especially being the football guy, seemed like a good fit. Why did no one leak this until now, that Stugatz was sniffing around the morning show, that it was not a bit, it was not a joke? This is from Golic's own mouth, that Stugatz was sniffing around looking to cheat on us with an upgrade to the morning show. And who knows? Golic might still have a career if Stugatz had weaseled his way into that. Golic might still have a career at ESPN Radio if Stugatz had replaced Trey, who didn't want to do that job because he's aged 100 years in the last 3 years of getting up at that hour in the morning.
One of the things I did this morning was thank Mike Golic Sr. for putting my name in a lot of executives' ears, because, and did so in a very positive way, unlike many other people around here, including the guy I do a show with every day. And so, like, he put my name in executive ears in a very positive way, the most positive way. Now, it never materialized. Obviously, it didn't work out, mostly because of my loyalty to Dan and how much I loved doing
the
show.
Because of Trey doing the show with Golic is the only reason it didn't work out, you slimy weasel. I'm surprised that you didn't leak that to some media reporter somewhere. I'm surprised that you didn't leak your flirtations with Mike Golic.
Stugatz this morning honestly put on a masterclass in salesmanship, and he also was teaching everyone at home and everyone in the industry, never burn any bridges, because even though this one seems to be closing, you never know, because Stugatz still wanted to be on absolutely everybody's good side, except Evan, the producer. For some reason, Stugatz took a shot at him. I didn't understand that.
That was a bad job out of me. You're right. I mean, it's fair, especially if I want some appearances with Zubin and Keyshawn.
Cody, were you emotional? Were you made emotional the way your son was made emotional? And what were the specifics of it, Chris? Was it Golic Jr.'s emotion on this that really reached you?
Yeah, Golic Jr. was like flat out crying, talking about just like it was his dream to be in this industry, doing it with the person he did it with. And it was just it was really, really cool, man. And it made me sad for them a little bit. It made me happy that they got to do it. It was genuinely moving to me.
Yeah, and it was for me as well. There was a little anger mixed in on behalf of Golic for the way they ended it for him without even telling him first. But yeah, it was very emotional because I can relate to it. Christopher and I are parallel, you know, on a lower level maybe, but parallel tracks, and very emotional. I'll watch it again.
That maybe was not necessary there on the lower level. No need for the maybe as a diluter.
Pointing that out, totally necessary. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. With insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. The first major of 2020 is finally here. Get exclusive coverage of the PGA Championship August 6th through the 9th on ESPN and ESPN Plus. And since we know that you've been missing golf, we here at ESPN Radio teamed up with our friends at the PGA to give you all something big to look forward to in 2021. This is your chance to win a VIP experience to the 2021 PGA Championship at the world-class Kiawah Island. It's a beautiful golf resort. For your chance to win, go to www.espnradiosweeps.com to enter now through August 11th. Limit to one entry. One grand prize winner will be selected. Again, visit espnradiosweeps.com for the official rules.
Tim Kirkchin will join us at 11 o'clock Eastern. Baron Davis going to join us in the noon Eastern hour. Perhaps you heard the grateful groan of the machine getting back to a little bit more normal in a way that Braves and Rays doesn't do it for you. We were able, as a network, Stugatz, to get back to being a LeBron infomercial last night. We were able, as a network, to get back to showing LeBron walking into the arena. And so we will ignore that for the moment because it's a regular season game. Greg Cody of the Miami Herald is in with us. The good news is he's been very good the last few weeks. The good news is he has a new Back in My Day. Nice. The bad news is he doesn't know whether or not he has done this subject before because he's that profoundly lazy. So he may have done this subject before with different words. I don't know what the subject is. We will find out together what that subject is. But before we do that, because I want to pay the proper respect to a career that doesn't have a lot of precedent at this company, Mike Golic, you can make the argument, is as responsible for building ESPN Radio as anybody ever has been. 22 years is an insane run in this business. He and Tony Bruno basically founded what ESPN Radio was. And I want to check in again with junior executive Billy here to have him help me understand how he thinks it's okay that after 22 years of distinguished service, where he's never had a bad public moment speaking every day on the radio for 22 years, how you think it's okay for him to read about he no longer has a morning show in the paper instead of being given the courtesy of someone having the spine to say it to his face before that.
I mean, I just didn't know you and Golic Jr. or Golic Sr. were such good friends. He's been on this show, I think, exactly zero times, and you're more offended about all of this than he seems to be publicly. It's weird.
In defense of Dan, he is a fan of doing things the right way. That's it. He is. Dan will tell you. If Dan has something to tell you, he is going to tell you himself. You are not going to read about it in a newspaper. Me, on the other hand,
This is the thing, Billy. Golic would never. Golic was good for this company in every way in terms of how he behaved. Even if he was hurt by that, it's not something he would ever do publicly. Happy to do it for him because that weasel leaker needs to be found and punished. The weasel leaker, whoever the weasel leaker is who thought it better idea to go and tell a reporter instead of Golic himself, whoever thought that was a good idea, smoke him out. Let's have one of those ridiculous meetings we have by conference call where everyone sits around and talks for 30 minutes doing nothing. Let's have one of those where we find out who it was that did that. That person should be running scared through the pandemic because of the amount of betrayal that there is involved with that guy deserved better from this place. That guy deserved better from the cruddy business of radio, and it's the worst. The radio business is the worst. It's not just that it's C-plus students everywhere. It's the worst in terms of stuff like this. You can't trust people at all. Golic has been on the show several times, usually when losing bets to us and having to massage Stugatz's glutes. But he would never say any of this, Billy. And I still don't understand, as you're saying, hey, Dan, why defend him so much? Why are you junior executive out here defending the leaker?
I mean, I don't want to put Stugatz out there, but it was Stugatz.
Wow. Well, I mean, first of all, I'm a B-minus student. I take C-plus. I get offended by that. But I think that today is not the day, Dan. Like, I get no one disagrees with your point, but today is the day to celebrate Mike Golic. Like, we're just bringing a negative vibe to this when I think we should be bringing, how about Mike Golic? How great is he?
I was hoping that same reporter was going to tell me that I was the new morning show host. I mean, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, Cody, do you have anything on this?
I broke the story and I regret it now. So that's about all I can say.
All right, so you don't have anything. Very good. Excellent work. Good contribution.
Thank you.
Look,
I don't dance now. I make money moves.
Casper, people, the most comfortable mattress on the market. Stugatz, he's just here to get the clicks and have his name heard. Like, it's not to do radio.
No.
It's, he sent out a picture this morning of me at Mardi Gras with him that my mother sent him. He only did it so he could get the clicks on Twitter. Like, he immediately betrayed me. Instead of enjoying the photo of me and him, young in New Orleans. Oh, for the love of God. Stugatz, what was the amount on coins that people throw away every year? What was the amount you just read?
An estimated $62 million worth of coins.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Are you surprised that, did you say Americans? Americans or the world?
Americans throw away an estimated $62 million worth of coins per year.
Are you surprised that Americans throw away more than $62 million in coins at Lebatard Show? And also put on the poll at Lebatard Show, do you throw away coins? Yes or no? Greg Cody heard that rejoin about Tony saying he was willing to die on the pineapple on Pizza Hill, saying he is all for it. Greg Cody said during the break that he had something on pineapples and pizza. Your feelings are what, Cody?
Well, pineapple pizza is very big in Spain. And when I was covering the 92 Olympics in Barcelona, I had pineapple pizza. And I found it so horrible that in whatever that is, 30 years since, almost 40 years since, 30 years since, I haven't had it since. It was just, it's a bad combination. It's just, it's unnecessary. You know, you get the sourness, sweetness with the pizza. It just doesn't work for me.
Now, Greg, did you only have pineapple cheese sauce and bread? What else did you have on it?
If I recall, there was a meat on there, but the pineapple takes over. All of a sudden, is it, what am I eating here? Is it dessert? See, I associate pineapple with like a, it's not a savory item. It's a dessert item. So it's like, it's just a weird, bizarre mix. It shouldn't be allowed, quite frankly. Culinarily speaking, it's just an abomination. Yeah.
Now, hold on a second. You had the sweet mixed with the savory of whatever meat you had, and you said that it was disgusting. How do you equate pineapple with a dessert? Don't you have pineapple with other things that are not dessert?
No, you know, I'm a pineapple farmer, as many of you know. I grow my own pineapple. And actually, quite frankly, I'm going to reveal something here. The homegrown pineapple, ground grown in my yard, is actually sweeter than what you would buy in a store. Smaller and sweeter. And I digress. Pineapple's just, it's a dessert. I'd rather have pineapple mixed with a beautiful French vanilla ice cream and just a little dollop of whipped cream. That's the use of pineapple. Eat it raw in chunks. Very helpful food, but keep it away from pizza. There should be a police department assigned just to keep pineapple off pizza.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Is pineapple a dessert, yes or no?
Greg is so right about this. It is a dessert, or you just chop it up, you throw it into a fruit salad. Here's the polarizing thing about pineapple. It's the last thing I want in the fruit salad. I don't want it on my pizza. It's the last thing I want in my fruit bowl. So I don't even know what Tony's doing here. I mean, it's ridiculous.
What else were you yelling about during the break? Because all of a sudden, and Greg Cody does his best shows away from the microphone when no one is listening, which is what makes him so exclusively special to our show in terms of ruining it. You were yelling about Zoom backgrounds for some reason. What's your problem? Whose Zoom background did you find objectionable?
Well, I object to all of these effete backgrounds that are just bookshelves. You know, who are you trying to impress here with your beautiful full bookshelf in the background? You know, what you're saying without saying it is I am a member of the effete literati. I want you to know, as you watch me on Zoom, that I am a reader. I'm a deep thinker. Look at all these books in back of me. Oh, look, I just happened to put Tolstoy's War and Peace front and center because that makes me look extra good. You know, it's just unnecessary. Why? Just give me a kitchen in the background or, you know, a dog walking by. I don't need you to proclaim your intelligence level by showing me a full bookshelf. And you see it everywhere. It's like a plague. It's a pandemic plague is what it is.
Name names. Who are you thinking of there? Because there are all sorts of people who do it on ESPN who do it with their backgrounds on television. It's not necessarily Zoom backgrounds. Even when we're not doing it in a pandemic, there are all sorts of people at ESPN who have bookshelves, fake bookshelves in the background.
Yep. It's everywhere. I mean, not only on ESPN, but I'm mostly thinking of the late night talk shows, you know, where somebody will be on with somebody, and it seems like half of the guests have that same background, whether they're fake or real. I just don't quite get the point, you know? I mean, it's a little effete to me.
It's funny that you bring up the issue of them being fake, because early on in the pandemic, Jeff Passan took people on like a behind the scenes tour and showed us that it's basically just a rolled down screen behind him. It's a picture with fake books and fake album covers and whatever. There's just a blank wall behind him, and he has just basically a giant blown up picture of what an apartment like office or whatever would look like.
Yeah. Can we call Schefter real quick? I think he's a fraud too on this front. I'd like to smoke out everybody at the network who's a fraud, a book fraud on this front.
Chef, there's so many books. How do we feel about the Emmys in the background, Greg? Are we okay with that? Ernie Johnson, when I did a Zoom call with him, he had all his Emmys in the background, and I found it to be distracting, and I was a little annoyed by it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's a little over the top as well, but I don't want to go too far on that, because if I had a beautiful Greg Cody Show podcast logo to put in my background, I probably would. I just can't afford to buy one.
Put it on the poll at Lebatard Show, Guillermo. Did you know that most of the books behind people talking on television are totally fake? And let's get Schefter on the line, because I want to grill him about his particular form of vain fraudulence.
The power move is the person who's written a book and just has their book behind them multiple ways, where it's like the cover and it's just like the side of the book where you're looking at it and you're like, wait a minute, they have one book and it was written by them. There's only 500 copies of it right behind them.
Stugatz, you'll be delighted. Everything that I have done on Zoom, other than highly questionable, the background behind me is always you getting your head shaved into Paul Feinbaum's hair. Like behind me on everything, yes, is just you with an island of baldness with some hair on the sides, because you lost that bet where you had to look like Paul Feinbaum.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. The NBA is back. Tune in tonight as Luka and the Mavs, the Beluga Whale, host James Harden, the Rockets. Presented by Indeed, coverage begins at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations.
Stugatz, do you think, and please help me know whether or not I'm wrong about this, because I haven't seen all the major league parks, but wouldn't it be better if they removed the netting behind home plate and allowed those cardboard cutouts to just take screaming foul balls that shattered their face? Like, what's the point of having the netting up if there are no human beings back there?
100%. You have cardboard sitting in your stands. Take the net down. Let the announcers have some fun with screaming foul balls going right through a piece of cardboard, you know, the cardboard face.
Yes. How great would that be if you've got a baby, like the picture of a baby behind home plate, and Giancarlo Stanton just sends something screaming backwards that makes the baby's face explode?
Right. In fact, they should all be babies sitting behind.
Well, help me understand something. Is Major League Baseball actually capitalizing on this by people who want to be famous for a minute and want their photos back there? This is something that would fetch some dollars, would it not? If you wanted to be in a cardboard cutout behind home plate, like, yeah. Marlins man, wouldn't Marlins man pay a ton of money to just have his cardboard cutout behind home plate?
I think Marlins man would. I think there are advertising opportunities for Major League Baseball to put behind home plate in the stands. But yes, there are certain people, Dan, who have a massive ego, and Marlins man is certainly one of them, that would pay top dollar, not just to have his cardboard cutout at Marlins Stadium, but every stadium in Major League Baseball.
He's working on that, is he not, Roy? Isn't he trying to negotiate something where he gets his face behind home plate in multiple stadiums?
I don't know, but that is a genius idea, and I expect him to actually try to do it.
I thought he was. I thought that I had read that somewhere, but I also thought that, you know, in the 80s, wrestlers exchanged match results for gay sex. I thought I read that somewhere, too. So I got to be careful with the things that I read, whether I know them or not. Greg Cody of the Miami Herald in with us. Do you guys think it's a good idea? I know this is a difficult time. We had a lot of momentum with our Moss Miami events where we had more and more people coming out to sold out parties. Do you think that we should try and latch on to what appears to be a totally illegal concert in South Dakota involving Smash Mouth, Trapped, and Buck Cherry? Just attach our Moss Miami to that. No mask. We're going to fight all the mask wearing people and hang out with. I couldn't believe it when I read it. Smash Mouth, Trapped, and Buck Cherry. Like, that sounds like a concert I wouldn't go to if you didn't give me a hazmat suit.
Smash Mouth is still doing it, huh?
Well, but I mean, Smash Mouth's the headliner on this. Like, Smash Mouth is not only still doing it, Smash Mouth is telling Trapped and Buck Cherry to wrap up their act so they can get out there. Like, Smash Mouth has to be the headliner there, does it not? Am I wrong in knowing? Do I not know enough about crappy music?
No, you're right. I've never heard of the other two. So you're right. Smash Mouth.
That's not the standard. You having heard of them or not having heard of them is not the standard. I mean, I don't think of you. I think you've heard of Smash Mouth, but you've not heard of Buck Cherry?
I've never heard of Buck Cherry. No. No idea. Nope.
Okay.
You have?
Well, yes, obviously. Now, Trapped, I will grant you. I have never heard of Trapped. Does anyone in our group know anything musically about any of these groups?
No, Buck Cherry sounds more like a soda than a band, honestly.
Yeah, a delicious soda.
Trapped's big song was Headstrong, but I recently found out that they're a MAGA, so I'm kind of turned off on that. So
put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Does Buck Cherry sound like a delicious sweet drink? That's what it sounds like to you guys. It does sound more like that than a band. I think you guys are right on that. Tim Kirchens going to join us here in about 10 minutes. We will play the looks like game with him. It's the return of the baseball season. Greg Cody has covered the holy hell out of the Marlins this week. He has written three straight underwear columns on the subject of the Marlins. We will get to him in a second. Chris, what do you have here?
So it seems the Marlins man has offered to buy a cutout with every team to be placed in his usual spot. And it seems like only the Athletics and the Royals have agreed to his offer and that most of the other teams have said no to him, according to a report by the New York Post.
And what should be a shock to no one is Greg Cody just put in a little chat room we have here. He thinks the cutouts behind home plate should be historical figures like Rutherford B. Hayes sitting next to Einstein. I mean, not a bad idea either. I mean,
that's right? A great idea, actually, because then the games could also become history lessons where you do, instead of like a trivia question of the day, you do a trivia question and it's the three guys sitting right next to each other. Or we're just kind of scrolling over and like, oh, look who it is. It's Teddy Roosevelt. Hey, Joe Buck, did you know Teddy Roosevelt? Blah, blah, blah. And then we learn fun facts about Teddy.
Yeah, let's be educational. You know, God knows there are many breaks in a baseball game where there's dead air. Let's enlighten people. Hey, is that Woodrow Wilson down the left field line? You know, and then tell a quick anecdote about Woody and move on, you know.
I like the idea of, a screaming foul ball that went right through the face of Rutherford B. Hayes. Like, I love that.
Well, but why stop there? How about just a full reenactment of The Last Supper? Just have, like, screaming foul balls just interrupting the Last Supper while you're at it. But we got to get rid of the net so that we could just have, like, cardboard shattering everywhere because it'll offer us something to do between pitches. But as I said, the Marlins, and this is the only way the Marlins end up in the national headlines, have forced Greg Cody to write three straight underwear columns about the disaster that is this pandemic. Three straight. I didn't think you could say anything else after the first one. What the hell did you have to say in three columns?
Well, the first one is just reacting to the ridiculousness.